You're listening to the Trim Radio Network. We cut the bull and serve the truth.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to The Brighter Life Show on Trim Radio Network. I'm Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, Nicholas Brighter from The Brighter Institute. How are you doing, Nick?
Well, thank you, Leslie. I'm doing well.
Yay. Okay, today we have just kind of a fun, topic. It's about attitude. Because it sure seems like in life today, everybody has an attitude about something.
What's with that attitude you got?
I know. I certainly have had quite an attitude today. So
is that the kind of attitude we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, there's different types of attitudes.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's attitudes, which is just a general attitude, which would be maybe somebody's, you know, their continence. You know, how they are just in general. And then there's attitudes that kind of come and go. And then there's attitudes when it comes to certain subjects. They may have an absolute attitude that is just inflexible. You know, they just can't see the positive in something. And so I think in general, especially when it comes to vibration levels, wouldn't you say, being the vibration expert, that in general, it's best to have a positive attitude. Would you say that's true?
I think it's better, yes. I think, if you're going to be real general, then yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, then let's not be general. Let's say that you're in the vibration level of courage. So you're right at the part where it's positive. When is it okay to not have a good attitude?
I think I would look at it like there's kind of a lot of overlap between someone evaluating what their attitude should be and trying to improve their attitude and doing the same thing with their vibration, trying to improve their vibration. And so if someone's at courage, then in general, I think having a positive attitude is going to be beneficial to him, but you don't want to... where I think it might not be helpful is when the person is giving himself maybe false positive affirmations and ignoring certain negative things simply because he doesn't want to have a negative attitude. He wants to have a positive attitude across the board. I can see that as being able to, as actually hindering his ability to increase his vibration. So it's sort of like you want to have as positive an attitude as possible, but don't be in denial because of it.
Okay, because sometimes something bad things happen, even to good people.
Right, yeah.
And so you may have a negative attitude that is temporary, or something may become resolved because you've done some reasoning and some problem solving. And so you can actually adjust your attitude, or just throughout the day, really analyze the importance of that attitude. The importance, what is the value of having a negative attitude versus what is the value of having a positive attitude? And when I say that, I don't mean the people that walk around with rose-colored glasses on, where they just, everything is good, everything is happy, everything, because everything isn't good. Everything isn't happy. And sometimes we have to recognize that bad things happen, but are we going to let it affect us? Are we going to create an attitude that is going to stay with us in the long term? You know, you can have a bad attitude. We all have bad days. We can't deny that something happens as bad and our attitude may be bad, but it's taking something that happened that was negative. And do you want to carry it over into the rest of your day? So do you want to have a bad attitude or have bad feelings about everything? And that's when we have to really decide that, more like compartmentalize, like that event was unpleasant, but am I going to let that event affect the rest of my day? Yeah. And that is something that happened to me recently. And I am somebody that knows better. That's what it sort of surprised me, because I'm working on a project. I know in advance that this project is going to be arduous. I know that it's going to take time, but I also know at the end of the tunnel that it's going to all work out. And so I have to force myself to think about the end result and not all the little mini logistics that are happening in between. So I sort of have had a bad attitude about things that aren't even related to a negative event. And I don't know if you've noticed that, you know, with yourself or with other people. Or sometimes, okay, for example, someone might say something that's a little snarky, and then they may think about it and they may say, you know, I'm sorry, I just had a flat tire, and so I just sort of have a bad attitude about everything, and I don't really mean, you know, exactly what I'm saying. That's probably a good thing, because they recognize that something else happened that sort of held over that bad attitude. But how do we break that cycle?
Yeah.
Because I've known people that have had a bad attitude about something. I mean,
definitely being aware of it is, I think, a required step and something that will resolve a lot, but definitely not everything in many cases. So you've known someone that...
just negative people. You know, there's someone that it doesn't matter what you say to them. You can say, you know, I just won the lottery. And they can say, well, you know, 90% of people who win the lottery, they lose all their money in a year.
Someone that has a negative, negative people is in someone that has a negative perspective on just whatever it is that you're talking about.
Right. And then what do you do? Let's say you're somebody that wants to be positive.
So I would say that the word perspective, I think, kind of applies a lot for attitude, in that it's telling of your attitude. So if, you know, what's a point where having a positive attitude is maybe too much, kind of what I was maybe hinting at before. And I realize now that, how I was explaining that, you know, was kind of hinting at that, and that's maybe not the how I should have explained it. It's maybe not the best way to explain it. But the idea of perspective, that you can be sort of positive and always look at things on the bright side, but something else that you identified, that you have to take in the negative emotions and the negative feelings sometimes. If you feel a negative feeling, you have to take those in, but you can look at things from a positive perspective.
Would you say that that's looking at moving forward?
I think so. Yeah, it's sort of being optimistic, but not ignoring your negative emotions that you're feeling.
Aha! So we used to hear this term years ago, where people would say something like, well, I'm cautiously optimistic. And that means that, yeah, you know, it could go good, it could go bad. They're cautious, but they want to be optimistic. I prefer just to simply be optimistic.
I haven't heard a whole lot of that, although hearing that, and I'm thinking that maybe that probably really was something that was common not too long ago. And I don't really care for what just hearing that cautiously optimistic. I think it's much better to be all in rather than to have a toe dipped in. Sounds like to me.
Okay, so to be all in, and then if it doesn't go exactly...
To be genuinely optimistic.
Yeah, okay. I think being optimistic is good. Being pessimistic, you know, is somebody that always looks at the negative of what could happen, all the risks that could be involved, where, yes, that sounds like a great plan, but this, this, and this, and this, and the other thing mm-hmm. could actually happen. A really good example that I can come up with is Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates, when he was talking after his empire was, you know, in full force, he talked about that he was pretty single-minded from to go from point A to point B. Point A being the beginning of his company, and point, you know, that the end result was what he wanted to achieve. And he just sort of went through everything that he had to do to get to the final result. And he actually, when he thought back about it, he realized that if he had written down every single little thing that he had to go through, mm-hmm. that he probably wouldn't even have proceeded if he had looked at all the risks involved.
Oh, because it would have been too much.
If he had looked at all the negatives, mm-hmm. if he had looked at everything, he wouldn't even have done it. But his eyes were so far forward mm-hmm. that he just did it, you know, and then after the fact realized, like, wow, I really had to jump through a lot of hoops. But at the time, he wasn't even thinking that because he had a goal. And so I think that goal setting, having a positive attitude, mm-hmm. And setting some goals is really important, and you just go towards achieving
yes.
Those goals. And there are some creative ways. You know, sometimes we become negative and we don't know it. In fact, that's what I was talking about myself.
Yeah, it sounded like what you were getting into. I would just say that what you just said, and I imagine how we'd go about it, there's maybe some differences, but I would agree that those are very important things, and things like goal setting, I believe, is a foundation. It's sort of a foundational requirement to being able to get to a high level. And yeah, I believe it's foundational. So okay. Yeah, definitely a good thing.
And so people, like, on a vibrational level, I'm just kind of curious, mm-hmm. when you're goal setting, you're trying to achieve something, what vibrational level would that, I'm assuming it would be in the positive, but where would that stand?
Goal setting, I would put it courage, 200. Okay, so it's not particularly high. It's sort of that neutral, I don't know, in my opinion, the 200 is where things, you know, flip from negative to positive. So I kind of view it as a neutral. It's sort of the uniformity or the practicality level or functionality level also. Like government functions are at basic, like a DMV is at 200.
Now, I tend to try to avoid people, and I don't know if this is good or bad.
People in general?
Yeah, I know.
Let me avoid
explain.
The human race?
Okay, yes, mankind. Okay. I only like animals. No, if somebody is negative, and anything that you say, they will always bring up the negative aspect. They will always bring all the negative things, and they think that they're doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. But it kind of does bring a positive person down. Mm-hmm. Because if they're just hearing everything, you know, being around somebody that's negative and then another person that's negative, I wonder how to avoid negative people. I have some ideas, but what are your thoughts on how do you just eliminate negative people from your life? Mm-hmm. Or do you just avoid them or try to have not as much contact with them? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you would identify to what degree is the person in your life? How easy is it to cut them out? So if it's a friend that doesn't live near you, it's probably easier than a related family member that you live near, let's say. So more difficult, or a friend that you live near, more difficult. So that'll sort of tell you how much, like, to at what point do you cut them out. And after you figure that out, what I would do would be, I think the first thing would be to express, like, this makes me feel this way, and see if they can change anything just from being aware of that this makes you feel X, Y, X makes me feel like Y. And the reason I would suggest that is because it's sort of non-debatable. it just makes you feel that way. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, it just makes you feel that way.
Okay, that is really interesting. So to share that with the person.
Yeah.
I know that some people that are negative, they get into a pattern. And I myself have been in patterns where, you know, everything seems negative. Anytime somebody tells me an idea, especially if I think the idea is incredibly stupid, I may express that, which is not really healthy for the other person. So I've tried to change it to saying things like, I think that you need to move forward and give, you know, your idea is your idea. And I think it's a unique idea. And I wish you the best. And I will, you know, give you any kind of support that you need. Mm-hmm. That's me getting out of saying something negative to someone because their heart and soul may be into it. And I'm not the expert. Just because their idea seems just silly or ridiculous to me, it doesn't mean that they're not going to make a success out of it. So I'm trying to just give somebody some positive just thoughts on what they're doing so that they can proceed. Unless I think that they're going to fall. But even then, if I think that they're going to fail, that's something that they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone needs to have their own fail because once you fail, you learn. It's a learning process.
Right.
You learn something and you get better. And it's not for me to be negative if somebody is sharing.
Well, I would also add that any endeavor someone has, for them to be successful at it, they have to fail at multiple points along the process of learning it.
And that's what we do as parents. As parents, we don't want our children to fail, and we base it on our own experiences. But the truth is we need our kids to try things, fail, and then to learn from that or how to better improve on that failure, because their failure experience is going to be different than my failure experience.
And I think that last thing that you said there is that would be what I would think is like the ideal as like a parent, to provide as much as you're able to, or as much as reasonable for you to, a conditions where your child can fail as much as possible, basically, and learn how to do something correctly or successfully.
Unless it's very dangerous.
That's why I added in what's reasonable for you to be able to. So don't overexert yourself beyond your capabilities.
I knew this guy who was having a fire at his fireplace, and he had a toddler that was about to reach his hand in the fire. And his attitude is, well, he just needs to put his hand in there and burn himself and he'll learn from it. And it's like, okay, that would not be a good example of letting your child fail.
Maybe a little too much.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was just absurd. I mean, the man was serious and it was like, okay.
I did put my hand on a stove once, though, and that did teach me I never had to do it a second time.
That's true. That's true. Ouch. Ouch. Do you have scars from it?
No.
Are you missing fingerprints? Are you one of those people that are fingerprintless?
No. I don't view that as a bad experience. I view that as a good learning experience for me. But if I were to decide, like, do I want my toddler to intentionally do that? And I don't, it might be a little too, it's potentially too dangerous.
Right. Well, yeah. So, I mean, there's certain situations where you're not going to want them to walk into a,
I think to sort of finalize our question you mentioned before, though. So I think, you know, once you mention how you feel about something, the person might decide to do something a different way, or they might not. If they don't, then you can sort of proceed to sort of next steps if you think they're necessary. But hopefully, simply by and if they do debate whether like your feelings are right or wrong, then, you know, you can just mention to them, this is just how I feel when this happens. I even if they're wrong for me to feel this way, this is just how I feel when this happens. And hopefully they do something differently.
Right. So now, you know, how to have, let's say you're in, like I happen to just be in a little bit of a rut right now where I have been for the last 3 days. Now we've been interacting for 3 days. And I would say almost every single aspect has been, would you say more in the negative as opposed to the positive?
Oh, in regarding my interactions with you recently?
Yeah, just our interactions, talking every day.
I believe... I was sort of thinking how I'd maybe point this out to you, but now that you've sort of come out and said it, I wasn't sure whether it was something worth mentioning or not, but I think most people, when you talk to them, their perspective on things are either are kind of like 50-50, like slightly, and are somewhat about a third negative, about a third positive, and about a third neutral.
Okay.
And some friends of yours might be always positive. Maybe they're trying to be extra nice or always positive around you. And so I have an idea of kind of what's normal for with our interactions. And I did notice, coincidentally, for the last 3 days that our interactions are what I would say that maybe you had a slightly negative, more negative perspective than I thought, than I felt like was normal. And, you know, I was kind of debating whether it's worth bringing to your attention or maybe it wasn't, because maybe I'd be prodding into an area of your life that's none of my business. You know, maybe there's something that's going on, but it's something that I noticed that there is a negative perspective on things I felt that is maybe more than typical for you, more than normal for you.
Just to let you know, I know that I've been, you know, having a little bit of a negative attitude about things. But, you know, there's a project going on at my house. And I'm, quite frankly, it's just not going exactly the way I wanted it to go.
Now you said attitude. Is that tie into why the topic today is attitude?
I think that our topic today with attitude is you were studying. Who have you been studying lately? A doctor? Oh, I'm not even certain.
His name's Earl Nightingale. He's one of the early personal development type people, and his business has a number of, you know, personal development kind of big names under personal development that have published their things under him. Under his company, I believe Dale Carnegie. He's an author that wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he's author of other books, but that's probably his most popular book. Really successful book. Was written in the 1930s. And I believe Bob Proctor. And there's other names, but those are probably
Proctor,
the two biggest
yes,
ones.
Yes, yes, yes. He always comes across as someone that's very positive and always looking at more of, you know, manifesting what you want.
Yeah.
You can't manifest anything with a negative attitude.
And I believe Bob Proctor is one of the secret people.
Right. You know what? That's where
and
I recognize him.
That is about manifesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen him in other, you know, either blogs that he's written or on YouTube interviews or just some interviews. So, but he's somebody that definitely has a positive attitude.
To sort of finish answering that question, Bob Proctor would be like a second generation of the sort of personal in the personal development world. And Earl Nightingale, I believe he's sort of the first in that sort of a genre.
Okay.
Or at least he's one of the pioneers. He's one of the earliest people to sort of come out with content in that genre, I believe, in the 1930s.
Okay, so
and he talks about attitude. Attitude's one of the main principles of his body of content.
And when he talks about attitude, does he mean in particular a positive attitude or just a neutral attitude?
If I were to quote him, I wish I had the full quote, but just regarding the word attitude, what he would call, quote, a positive mental attitude, unquote.
Okay.
What he thinks is that everyone should have a work towards having a positive mental attitude.
Do you believe that the most successful people in the world in general have a positive mental attitude?
I want to say yes. Right off the top of my head, I want to say yes. I'm thinking if there's exceptions to that.
Okay. Or at least a way to cultivate, you know, methods to keep a positive attitude.
So I don't know if those kind people that are overwhelmingly successful, where anyone would call them successful, like a Jack Ma or a I'm talking like business success or Jeff Bezos would be like the American equivalent of that. Although you could argue that, like, well, you know, relationship wise, maybe he's not.
Personal life versus business life.
Yeah. So,
in business, I mean, people's.
I'm trying to narrow, if we were to give a hypothetical person that is successful in their business and their personal life in all areas of their life, then those people, I would imagine, would be. I don't know if they would have a positive mental attitude 24/7. But I do believe that in general, they would have a positive mental attitude and probably for most of the day.
Okay.
So, and they would also probably have things that they work on themselves, sort of personal development type things, things that they've either learned themselves or learned from mentors or other people for how to sort of maintain some sort of mindset that they feel is important for them to maintain to sort of be productive or work towards their goals.
It's kind of funny. I was reading an article that said that sometimes it is almost difficult to be upbeat, to have a positive attitude 24/7. How can you do that? That in itself can be exhausting.
Yeah, they would definitely have methods that they do to try to do that, to be like that as much as possible.
But then there's also methods when you just need to have time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You think about like 10 minutes a day. You, instead of really focusing on something that's negative, you actually can write down for 10 minutes things that are negative and then just sort of mull those over in your mind and then blow them off. Like, yes, there are some things negative. You don't want to pretend that there isn't anything negative,
mm-hmm.
but there are things that you need to think about. You need to how that negative can be positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you can turn it into something positive.
In regards to that, a negative people definitely need to take in are their negative emotions that they are feeling. That's something that person definitely needs to accept and feel.
Okay, so as opposed to just repressing it,
pretending that
they don't exist,
right. Oh, yeah,
or the negative
don't do that.
Things.
Yeah.
You know, don't exist. You need to just still process.
They need
that.
They need to process and accept that part of them. They can work towards changing that part of them later, but at the time they're feeling it, they need to let themselves feel it. Beyond the emotions someone feels, I don't know if it might be possible for someone to sort of be able to block out any or ignore any other negativity. I don't think that's possible, but. It might be possible, but it definitely is the case that a person's emotions, they need to take in their negative emotions
ones. You need to accept your own negative emotions, yeah. but you don't need to pour that on everyone else around you. You know, I mean, those are your emotions. Those are what you are feeling. You need to reason out your own emotions. Mm-hmm. You need to come to term with those emotions,
mm-hmm.
but it's not your job to make everyone else feel.
I would also say that a person letting them feel those emotions, it shortens the amount of time that they have to feel them. They're letting them play out, basically.
I am going to use this because I have had, you know, some negative emotions, and I'm just going to tell everyone I'm remodeling, you know, my house, and basically it's coordinating with flooring people and people that remodel this and wall. I mean,
you mentioned you had a flood recently,
and I had a flood, and it's kind of funny because we talked about
that. Just seems like a headache just imagining the, you know, multiple contractors and insurance company
okay. which they're complete nitwits.
So the insurance company has not been helpful in this.
The insurance company is if you fight, and I'm just a person that is, thinking that everyone is honest.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is honest. This is what it costs. This is what's covered. They agree that it's covered. And then all of a sudden they give you, you know, 20 cents on the dollar
mm-hmm.
for it, which is completely impossible. So basically a job that would be, you know, X amount of dollars, their job is to give you the least amount of money. That didn't really occur to me, and it should have, because I was raised in an insurance family.
My father owns
an insurance brokerage. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of unique because they are advocates for their clients. So if a client of the insurance, the actual company, isn't doing well, you would call up my parents' brokerage firm, and they are your advocates. I sort of felt at a loss, like I didn't have an advocate. You know, the things that the company was coming back, that was completely absurd. Now I knew in my heart that it would be resolved,
mm-hmm.
but I still had to deal with, how am I going to do this? Am I prepared to fight? And I had one of the contractors come, and he said, ma'am, do not give up. You need to fight. Mm. And that really helped me, because I thought, you know, I'm going to fight in a positive way, because everything is honest. Insurance companies.
He had the opinion that it was a requirement dealing with the insurance company.
It was not only a requirement, but he was like, honey, this is just the beginning. And okay. So it actually gave me some strength. Like, oh.
It's just okay. The first step.
Yeah, this is just nothing. Like, of course they're going to offer you nothing. And what they offered
That's
me.
Step I one.
Could, yeah, I know. And
you
and
can't
I,
give up on step one.
You know, so I didn't really realize that. And so I just thought that everyone was going to be completely upfront and completely mm-hmm. honest. And I'm not saying that they're dishonest, but they will take what they think it would cost to replace an entire kitchen. You know, okay. And if they think, and the,
and
with
they
their
think
figures,
it costs 2 cents.
And their figures don't match up. What's in the market?
Because their 5-year-old
right
son says that I can do it.
Really? But it wasn't that bad. They're doing their job. I mean, the people at the insurance company, actually at the insurance company, their job is to give the policyholder the least amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I know this. It's been a learning curve for me. So through that learning curve, I just became a little sad, maybe a little cynical. And definitely, I had a negative attitude.
So can I ask you a question a little bit? It's related to that, but it's a little bit different topic. It's not too personal of a question, if that's okay with you.
Go for it.
So in regards to your home, because I am a believer that a person's bedroom, and for most people, their home also, although if a person doesn't have a lot of control over the home, then their bedroom is a representation of their mental state to varying degrees. Like it's a partial view of their mental state. So if their home is very organized, then their mental state is one of order at that moment. And if their home is very chaotic, then their mental state is chaotic at that time. And so is your home, was it in a lot better order before this happened than it is at this very moment in the past few days, let's say?
It was in perfect order, mm-hmm. and now it is in utter disarray.
Okay.
And it's been 4 weeks now, and it is getting to me.
Okay.
And unfortunately, me, and I know better. I know that that it is isolated to my home and the condition it's in right now. I know I need to look forward, because it's going to be wonderful at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the time that it's taking. There's the fact that the flood happened in the first place. And I also am upset because the person that flooded my house, that was not an utter surprise that this woman would come and do the act that she did. It was very intentional. And so I was mad at myself because I allowed this person into my world. So that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
That is on me. That did not have to happen. I did not have to let her into my home. I did not have to let her go into my bathroom.
You have some compounding things that would bring your it would have some negative it would affect your attitude.
And the fact that my house is in disarray, even finding a pair of scissors because I have no kitchen.
Yeah.
And I don't have my drawer where there's scissors, every single little thing.
Yeah, compounding, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. It's compounding. And it's making me not very, probably an unpleasant person to be around right now, but I'm trying to have a positive attitude because I know at the end, my house is going to be beautiful. It's going to be back in order, and I will essentially have my life back.
Well, you have some things to look forward to, definitely. I think what I'm realizing is when I was first made aware of this, I had a suspicion because I have the belief that I just went over that a person's bedroom or their bedroom and their whole home is a representation of a partial representation of their mental state. But that is I used to believe it was a one-way direction that their mind ends up sort of making their home or bedroom look that way. And so it allows you to read what their mental state is. But what I didn't believe before is that altering their home to be in order or out of order or with a lot of stuff or a little stuff or however it is you alter it would then change their mental state. I didn't believe that. And when I first learned this about you, I remember thinking that maybe to some degree that is the case, that it can change someone's mental state. And I'm just going to maybe over the next couple of months, because it sounds like this is going to take a while, see if there's maybe any connection between that with Leslie. And I think I'm realizing now that there is probably, that it goes both directions now more than I thought beforehand. Because before I thought there was, I mean, I didn't think it was completely one way, but I thought there was very little. I thought it was mostly one way. And I'm realizing now that I believe it goes both ways. Hopefully I can see some other examples
I definitely know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And not only that, once it gets to the point where everything is put, the floor's back in, the cabinets are back in, the sink's back in, the oven's back in, the toilets.
Maybe I should ask you, though, do you believe that your house being, if you feel it's messy or just overwhelmingly messy, do you believe that that's affected made your mental state messy?
Absolutely. Well, not my mental state messy. It's just I feel irritated, aggravated, discombobulated. I had a couple clients that I had to see, and even my computer, because I do virtual. Meetings.
Even your
with
computer
my clients
wasn't how you wanted it.
Wasn't in my same place where I'm used to, so I had to. It was just everything sort of threw me off. I'm a very organized person.
Okay.
Now I'm looking forward to everything being put back together and then reorganizing.
Still doesn't change it at the present moment, though.
And the positive thing is I'm actually purging. Because the house is, I'm like, I don't even need this 20 million stacks of papers that I've had for 7 years. So I can go shred those and put those in the garbage. So through the process of the mess, I'm actually doing some cleaning, which is positive.
Okay.
So, but my attitude, I'm not talking to an awful lot of people because I know in my heart that I'm just a little edgy. And so I don't want people to view me, you know, edgy. I was even thinking about not even doing this particular episode because I was afraid that I might be just, you know, not come across very nice.
And your users would identify like, why is Leslie so edgy today?
I know. That's my problem. But so, you know, I think that having a positive attitude, even in adversity, you know, it's something that we really do have to work at. We do also have to anticipate that is going to happen, not overly anticipating, not like somebody that's in risk management.
I think I would want to, something I would want to highlight for viewers that you just said that I think is important is that to work on, what was the exact words that you said referring to working on your attitude, that it is something people have to work on.
Right. Well, keeping a positive attitude is something that is constantly working, because there's negatives in this world. Mm-hmm. Think about our world right now. We can't turn on the TV. Everything is negative.
Oh, yeah. Everyone your attention is constantly negative. Under attack. It's mostly, especially politically, bringing you down.
Yeah. There's the politics, the way the world is run, the way we're just, you know, sheep in this world. I mean, things that we're learning. You know, I mean, I've just turned off my TV. I don't want to hear about that. A lot of the patients that I'm working with, the first thing I tell them is, do not turn on the TV. Mm-hmm. I always have this saying, when you got up this morning, were you in your same bed? Yes. Did your feet hit the same ground? Yes. Did you have your same morning coffee or whatever you enjoy in the morning? Yes. You know, what has really changed? I mean, of course, there's gas mm-hmm. prices, and there's certain things and cost of things that have changed.
I imagine it would be difficult to get a patient. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I would imagine, you know, people that watch a lot of political media, that I mean, they really like watching it, and because it activates their fear center of their brain, which is really primal. It's really difficult for them to not watch it. And so do you think, how difficult is it for you?
Well, there's two different types. There's certain types that just blanketly believe anything that they hear mm-hmm. on the news. Mm-hmm. And that's a little scary.
I mean,
and
you get your patients to not watch?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Don't watch it, and just think about how it affects you personally. The only thing, it's only emotionally affecting you, but personally, your day-to-day life, how much has really changed? You know, just really think about that. Do you still love your grandchildren? Well, yes. Do you still do this? Do you still, you know, act? Do you still go to the park? Do you still go to work every day? I mean, just try to think about how it's really affecting you, and just try to not have opinions, because the opinions that people are picking up on are the opinions of newscasters, mm-hmm. which back in the day when I was a kid, they told the news. Mm-hmm. And then you could form your own opinion. Now it's all just editorial. The newscasters will tell you,
okay,
this is what happened, and this is my opinion. Or this is what you're seeing, but really what you're seeing is this, that, and the other thing, which you may not have seen that at all, or even recognized it that way. So it's all opinion. It's all mm-hmm. editorialized.
And it's going to be a negative perspective on something.
Yeah, and journalism is dead, and so it's really not healthy in general mm-hmm. to watch just the news.
And I know from a vibrational level, it's about politics are typically around 200, 190, sometimes up to 200.
So that's in the negative, yeah. And that's the fear factor, because you're right, people do, you know, there's just this primal thing that we have to have fear. The reason why we have fear is because it's to protect ourselves.
Right.
It's to protect our existence. So we have to recognize what we need to be fearful. But if it's false fear just to create, you know, an entire group of people that would do completely ridiculous things and all, you know, like sheep all jumping off a cliff together, because they were told something that isn't even true on the news, or just somebody's commentary, somebody's own editorialized opinion.
Right.
You know, that's ridiculous. And unfortunately, journalism is dead. And I am so sorry for
I think if I could just, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Journalism is dead.
In my opinion, yeah. That is my humble opinion,
yeah.
You know. That journalism dead. I've read that. I think a lot of people that believe that. But on a positive note, I mean, there's certain things that we can do. There's creative ways that we can mm-hmm. keep a positive attitude no matter what.
Okay.
And, you know, having a positive attitude, what it really means is being optimistic about situations, being optimistic about, you know, our interactions, being optimistic about ourselves, being optimistic about people, thinking of people in a positive light, to be grateful to what we have. Instead of thinking of all the things that we don't have, really appreciating and being grateful and thinking about what we do have.
Okay.
You know, we have our lives.
I think those are all good things. I know that There's a lot of times people sort of run the good and the bad story of in any sort of future they're imagining for themselves. And it could be something as simple as like, what am I going to have for breakfast? So they run the good and the bad version through their mind really quickly. You know, it happens in a few seconds. And some people have a tendency to run a really short, dull, ideal version in a really heightened, extreme negative version. And so the point I'm trying to make is to try to do the opposite, at least try to run a good positive version at a minimum to sort of match that negative version.
Right. Well, basically it's being optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, I guess
what I'm saying is to be realistic, but try to also look at the good side and try to be optimistic, I suppose.
Well, to anything negative, there is something positive. Mm-hmm. And having a positive outlook, it naturally results in more optimistic view of life rather than thinking.
Well, that's a whole other topic in and of itself. But your where your attention is, if your attention is somewhere positive, that will become your reality. Eventually, your reality will become a positive one.
Aha.
But that's a whole nother podcast, I think, by itself.
Yeah, nothing wrong with you. Well, then, you know, how about, you know, dealing, we all have disappointments in life. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've had some recently, which I've talked about, and some failures. But you deal with disappointments and failures more easily when you have a positive outlook. And so it may be hard and you may have to cope with, you know, bouncing back, but there's just certain things that we have to accept. And rather than just being in denial, like, oh, woe is me, nothing's ever going to be good, just really take that negative attitude and try to turn it into something positive, because there's always the counterpart. There's always the counterpart of something that is negative or any kind of negative event that happened in your life. For example, I was reading in Hawkins' book, mm-hmm. That, you know, there could be this guy, I think there was one story we may have talked about it on one of our other podcasts, that, you know, he lost his job and he was really, really unhappy about it. And he was sad and he couldn't see, you know, the future. But it turned out he ended up getting a better job. And then he realized looking back that he was going nowhere in his job. And although he was very negative and had a negative outlook on what had happened, in the long run, it ended up being something very positive, mm-hmm. that he was fired. Even the fact that he was fired from the job was the best thing that could have happened to him. And so it's really looking, you know, toward the future. Something else to have a positive attitude in life is to truly be grateful. I think I talked about this a minute ago, but be grateful for the good things, you know, in your work, what you do, and in your life. And to really try to approach every day with an appreciative mindset.
Okay.
Like, I appreciate, what do you appreciate in everything in life?
That would definitely, you know, be beneficial in regards to where your awareness is and attention is. And I'm sure there's other... Well, there's other benefits I can think of for that.
Well, I mean, I think that clearly having a positive attitude is immensely beneficial. I mean, I think it's beneficial. And some people say that it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by adopting just certain ways and attitudes to think.
Habits.
Yeah, like habits and improve your work ethic. And, you know, there's certain things like just, you can even start a journal about things that are positive, mm-hmm. and treating yourself, just taking your life and taking 10 minutes of your day to treat yourself. Because sometimes we have the attitude.
Treating yourself like you're worth something.
Yes, because you are a value. Mm-hmm. You do have value.
As opposed to treating yourself like you're not worth anything.
Yeah. And some people, it's like, oh, you know, these bad things happened to me. Oh gosh, of course that happened to me. Think about, like, good things that have happened, good things that you've contributed. I'm not saying, you know, put yourself in a pride. Don't be prideful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sort of coming at it from a point of view of, like, imagine let's say you have a dog and you can choose to feed your dog the, you know, the dollar store dog food. I don't know if there is dollar store dog food, but probably the dollar store dog food or the, you know, the premium, you know, 4-5 course meal dog food that makes him, you know, run faster, jump higher, and do math problems. And then, you know,
I'm buying that dog food and eating it myself.
And which one are you feeding your own body?
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about it.
Right. So how much are you worth?
Okay.
Because so, if you feel like you haven't accomplished what you want to, and you don't feel like you can, well, if you're feeding yourself the dollar store dog food, you need to.
No, you don't need to be criticizing. I like that dollar store. I bought a bunch of flashlights, and
be a time and a place for it. You know, I'm not saying that the dollar store dog food is worthless. I mean, this is hypothetical. Of course, I don't even know if it exists, but it's sort of like you have to give yourself the right fuel. If I'm just using nutrition as an example, you have to treat yourself right to give yourself the ability to do what you want to do, and right. So that requires you to respect yourself enough to not treat yourself as if you're worthless.
I think something else is to. Now, I've noticed this just recently, and maybe it was a female thing or a they thing or a he-she thing. I don't know. But to really try to avoid spreading gossip. We all love to gossip. Mm-hmm. Did you hear this happened to that person, this and that and the other thing? But spreading gossip, if you gossip too much, it ultimately is negative. And you'll be known as somebody that's a gossiper. And I mean, quite frankly, it takes two people to gossip.
Yeah.
People may call you a gossiper, but there's a person that's listening to it, and then they're spreading that gossip, and it just goes on and on. So really try to look at other people and things that happen in their life without spreading gossip. And I have gossiped.
That is interesting you bringing this up, because I suppose when I really think about it, I don't exactly know from a vibrational level. It's not obvious to me when it becomes negative for the person engaging in it.
Well, there's the gossiper.
Yeah.
And then there's the gossipy, the person that's listening to it.
Especially the person listening to it. It's not obvious to me at what point it becomes negative to hear it.
It takes two people to gossip because the person that's listening to it can just simply, you know, change the subject and say, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that, about the person, and then change the subject. But it really does take two people to engage.
I guess there's the matter of, is it always negative?
Gossip in general, I would say, is probably negative. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called gossip.
I would imagine in general it's negative too. It's just I can think of things I've heard in my life that technically would be gossip that I don't know if it was a negative thing to hear it and even repeat it to someone else. But I would definitely say the overwhelming majority of gossip, you know, probably. I feel is probably not, you know, good, something good to spread.
I don't think that is positive, especially if the gossip is something, you know, negative.
Damaging to the person?
Yeah, or damaging or going to, you know, defaming, you know, slandering the other person. Yeah. You know, even if it's true, it's like, why would you want someone else to think?
I guess now that I think about it, it would put someone's mental state in a frame of, at sort of a minimum, at looking at the bad side of something.
Okay, so a couple
other things. Looking
at things
from a negative perspective.
That I think would help somebody have, you know, to up their positive attitude is to serious take breaks. People work, and they just don't allow any time for themselves. And so, and they become sluggish. And they become, you know, just negative, and they're tired. And when you're tired, it's hard to be positive. And so it's refueling yourself. And that is in itself is not being selfish. It is not being selfish to take some time for yourself. Okay. What do you think about that? How many times a day, minutes a day, do you take time for just nick time?
I think that's I think that's very important. For some people, they're not going to, and I think it depends on the person. So some people, they're not going to need a lot of time to themselves. Some people need more. And then some people, they might not need time to themselves a lot of the time, but sometimes they might. And so everyone sort of will know how much self, let's say, private time or alone time, or, you know, how much of that time they need. Everyone will know. And I would say give yourself that time. And it's probably not too much for any one person. It's probably not too much.
You know? Well,
it could be 10 minutes, could be an hour.
Oh, you know?
Could be a few hours even.
And I need to do that. You know, sometimes I do some meditation in the morning, but since this event has happened, mm-hmm. I haven't done that. I have just let that go. And so I know starting tomorrow morning, I am going to do some meditation, and I know that it's a positive thing, and it's going to help me have more of a positive attitude. And so I recommend that to anybody, just to take, even if it's just 10 minutes, you don't have to, you know, do it where you have a candle going, just wherever you happen to be, if it's in the morning before you rise from bed, or if you're just having your morning cup of tea, to just really take some time and just meditate, you know, about your day, and that your day is going to be positive. But lastly, I think the main thing is to focus on the long term instead of the short term. And this is a lesson to myself. And then that way you can have a brighter life. And that is why we are called the Brighter Life. We hope that we brightened your day up and gave you some ideas on how to make yourself more positive and get rid of the negative and simply have a brighter life. What do you think, Nick?
I like all that.
You do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is the end of our what episode is this? Are we 15?
I believe this is episode, 15 or 16.
Okay, we don't know.
So I think this is episode 15, but it's supposed to be 16, or yeah, I guess maybe we don't know.
With the big flood, we did skip last week.
Everyone should remember to work on having a positive attitude. It is something that people have to work on. It's not necessarily that you've won the positive attitude game or lost it. It's a lifelong journey, and simply the act of trying to work on yourself is one of the biggest steps you can take.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's all just be positive and have a brighter life. And thank you so much for joining us. And this is Dr. Leslie Brooklyn from The Brighter Life. You're listening to Trim Radio Network with my host, Nicholas Brighter from The Brighter Institute. And have a great, wonderful, positive rest of your day. Thanks for listening.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We have ignition. Strap in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. Take the red pill. Take the blue pill. You take the red pill, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
That's right. Take the red pill, and I will show you how deep the rabbit hole goes every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to midnight here on the Trim Radio Network. It's the Red Pill Reality Show. See you then.
After this, there is no turning back.
You have asked, are we happy? Are we happy and effective? Consultation with leading experts in the field makes it perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. That we are all now programmed for perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. Perfect happiness.
What? what they want us to hear. They think we can't handle the truth.
If you feel you are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
Control.